This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Educated Investor Show. My name is Scott Watley. Our show is brought to you by Cishan Financial Services. They're with the Householder Group, estate and retirement specialist. And each week at this time, David Cishan joins us to bring a little light to the financial world here. David, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing fine, Scott, and I understand you're doing great.
Yes, sir. I'm doing better than I was last week. So, hey, if I can keep saying that every Monday, I will be all right. But, no, I appreciate it and appreciate your insight on it because you've kind of been through that whole knee replacement thing a couple of times. So, appreciate your help there. Well, David, hey, before we get in today, let me ask you, I think some of the specials at some of the fireworks stands must have been buy one, get 2,000 free. Because I have never seen so many fireworks in my neighborhood in Highlands Ranch than we saw over Saturday night.
Well, you're right. In Parker, we got hammered, and I just can't believe that it was like a whole brand new show every few minutes.
it was
unbelievable.
It really was. Wow. Well, I hope everyone had a great and a safe fourth weekend, but we are back to reality now, back to just wondering what in the world is going on about from every angle of our life, but no more important area than our financial world. So, David, when you pick up the phone and your customers maybe make a call to you or you make a call to them just to see how they're doing, what are some of the thought processes that people are talking with you about right now?
Well, I think the key elements are just unbelievable amount of weight on most people's shoulders in today's world. We've got three, obviously, immediate crises that have started back in February or before, actually. And, of course, the big one being the health crisis that has ballooned into this massive problem where people are getting sick and people are dying. And the concern, of course, has gone from pure economic concern to health concerns. You know, am
right.
I going to get through this mess? So this crisis is a huge weight, and people are concerned about that because that ultimately leads to the economic crisis that we're faced right here, where so many people have been laid off. And the question has been asked by me is, you know, is the economy going to come back to normal? When is it?
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, although parts of our economy seem to be coming back a little bit, other areas are going to take years to come back. You know, we've got hotels and restaurants and airlines that are going to be under pressure for a long time. If we look back in history, you know, the last 10 U.S. recessions since 1950 took normally 30 months on average to get all the jobs that were lost to come back. And now they're saying that a lot of these companies may not come back because they can't stand the economic losses they have incurred so far, which means they're not going to hire a lot of these people back. And in the New York Times over the weekend, they were saying that those people that do come back, there might be just 40% of them coming back. They're going to be at a 15 to 20% loss in wages when they come back from when they left. So this is not an easy thing going on right now, and
sure.
I don't care what the markets are doing. The markets are living on this federal government intervention with money that's helping to keep these monies in the marketplace and keep the stock market up. And then we have the social crisis that we're seeing with the protests in the streets, and we're going to see, I would assume, fairly soon, an increase in the health problems because they weren't social distancing in a lot of these areas.
Yes,
forget
sir.
About the big celebrations in over the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
So we got all of these. So people are concerned about. And the biggest thing, of course, where people are concerned is making sure they have enough income to get through this mess.
Absolutely.
I mean, income is key. And it always has been, even in basic retirement. The most important thing that retirees need to know and have and be aware that they are comfortable with is enough income coming in to cover these things that come up. And, of course, right now with these crises that we're facing, it becomes more important that that income is stable and it's coming in every day.
Right. David C. Sean is our guest. Once again, you're listening to The Educated Investor. CSeanFinancialServices.com is the website. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, FinancialServices.com. And their number is 720-482-1917. And, David, I think the big fear factor for everyone is, and we could have said this 3 months ago, I mean, nobody knows, you know, where to get the truth about anything from the medical side of things, you know, from the financial side, you know, Democrats, Republicans, whatever the case may be. And I think that's what just still has everybody in such a fear factor mode.
Well, there's no question. There's a lot of confusion out there, and things are being stirred up politically, not to the benefit of us, but for the politicians' benefit. And that's causing a lot of consternation with people. And I think it's going to show up ultimately in this election that's down the street, not too far away, I think. But again, this whole concern and this fear, once we have a medicine that keeps us from going to the hospital or a vaccination, all right, that's going to solve a lot of the fear that people have. But I don't see that happening until well after the election.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, all the scientists are saying that maybe early 2021, right? Maybe early 2021. And that will be like unheard of in the annals of vaccinations. Mm-hmm. But if it is, it's going to be welcomed, of course. It'd be tremendous to have it. Because until we have that, the fear is going to be out there. You know, we run educational Zoom meetings and things for clients and folks that are interested in understanding about how to become more educated in these areas and how to protect your assets, not just from the crisis, the economic crisis, but things like from the government. We pay so much in taxes. We don't need to pay as much in taxes according to the tax laws, but we do.
Right.
And the key to this is, again, is understanding where we are as best you can do, given these uncertainties. And the key thing, again, all the way around the board, is making sure you have enough income to weather this, to have it coming in protected so that you don't have to worry. And those people that have enough income being protected, I don't care if it's a pension or Social Security or an annuity or income from a pension of other types of retirement accounts, but those have guaranteed income coming in, they don't have a worry, except the normal stuff that we face in everyday lives, because a big thing is taken care of. Their expenses are covered for the month.
Right.
Makes a big difference.
Sure.
Paychecks and playchecks are critical to all of us.
Absolutely. You know, I had someone ask me over the weekend, they said, you know, told me to ask you, is it ever a good time to pull money out of 401k money?
Well, you know, it all depends on circumstances. Yeah, and there's reasons to pull money out. You can, all right, depending on what crisis you're facing or what situation you're facing at work. Did you lose your job? Were you laid off? You know, the law, the tax laws that they passed recently allows people to take monies out of up to 100 grand out of their 401ks to use for emergencies like the coronavirus. And they don't have to pay it back until 3 years down the road. But is that the best thing to do? Well, it all depends on their overall circumstances, overall assets. Where are they? Where are the rest of their assets? And again, it depends on circumstances. So the answer is yes and no.
Yep.
And that's why we encourage people to come in and get a second opinion on their situation, so that we can realistically look at where everything is and come to a conclusion, an educated solution that, of course, is always under construction.
Sure. Absolutely. Once again, the number for Cishan Financial is 720-482-1917. If you'll just call David's office there and mention you heard him here on the Educate Investor, they will work out a time to get you in or set up a phone call, a Zoom, whatever you're comfortable in doing. And David, I like what you said. You know, it's not just about the income coming in, but it's also protecting it. And that's huge.
It's huge. I had a new referral come in the other day, and she was saying, boy, we've got really well. I got good income coming in from these sources. They were all dividend income and just a very little Social Security. And she needs like $4,000 a month to live comfortably after taxes. And the dividends were grossing maybe 15 or 20, but some of those dividends are being cut right now. And who's to say that these dividends will stay at the level that they've been at? And they're from good companies, but you don't know. Some of these good companies, as you've seen in the paper of the last several weeks, are declaring bankruptcy.
Right.
Well, you know, that's not a guarantee of income. Is it good income? It could be. Is it income that she could use to live on? Absolutely. But it's not guaranteed. You need a certain portion of this of these monies to be guaranteed to take the pressure off in case things like this happens. And you don't have to worry about the price of oil or this stock or that dividend.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that income coming in, and it frees you. It frees you up from excess of wear and tear on your mind.
Absolutely.
And your pocketbook.
And like you said, I think a lot of this is going to just play so much on our mental health as well, because you look at people that, you know, they have it. You look forward to summer, you know, kids are out of school, and now the kids have been out of school for 3 months already, but you can't go anywhere. I forgot what state. I was just reading just a few minutes ago where now, you know, there's another state here close to us that you got to do 14 days quarantine to get there. So, I mean, a lot of people are going to have to get creative in what they can do as a family to get out and enjoy life. I've always said you can't live in fear. You got to respect, you know, this virus and what's going on, but you can't live your life in fear either.
Well, that's it. You can't. And yet you better have the resources mentally and physically and economically behind you to get through it. Because, there's all sorts of articles written recently about the mental health of people. Devastating. And what are people going to do when you can go back to work, but the kids can't go back to school?
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's still uncertain. And there's a toss-up there between what do you do if you can't get babysitters, can't people to take care of the kids if they don't go to school. I don't know how that'll work out, but it's not going to be good.
No, I agree with you. Well, David, as always, a lot of great information, and we will look forward to our next visit. But once again, as David mentioned, hey, a second opinion can be very, very valuable to you. And I always say, you're either going to find out you're on a right road, or you're going to find out, hey, there may be a few tweaks that David can help you make to help you save on taxes, protect your income planning, your investments, estate planning. Maybe that's not even a part of your plan. Whatever the case may be, I hope you'll give David a call, 720-482-1917. And once again, it's cishanfinancialservices.com. So, David, thank you very much, sir, and we'll talk next week.
You betcha, and take care of yourself.
Guys. All right, sir. Thank you so much. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. As the old saying goes, knowledge is power. And in the world of reverse mortgages, this knowledge is critical. Now, welcome to Knowledge in Reverse.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse. My name is Scott Watley. This show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Mr. Steve Hurley. Steve is the reverse mortgage specialist there. You can reach Steve at 303-885-0254, 303-885-0254. Glad to welcome in studio Kurt Rogers. Kurt's the owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage, and Kurt's going to cover some things today about the pros and cons of a reverse mortgage. So, Kurt, I know we don't have a ton of time to do this, but, hey, we're going to lay out some important facts for people today.
Yeah, there's a lot of myths about reverse mortgages, what they do, what they don't do, how much they cost, you know, how you lose different things. And I think some of the people need to hear the clarity of what is really the truth and what's not the truth. Reverse mortgage, as you know, Scott, it's not for everybody.
Sure.
But it is for a lot of people that need the extra financial boost or security.
Right. All right. So we're just going to talk about some of the myths and, again, some of the pros and cons of a reverse mortgage. And, you know, one of the probably the largest myths out there is that you don't own your home anymore. The bank owns it. Well, guess what? With a regular mortgage, Kurt,
the bank owns that one, too, till you pay it off. But and that's kind of part of the difference where people say that you never owned the reverse mortgage home, which technically you don't, because you're going to stay in the house and you're not going to make payments on it. You still have to pay your taxes and insurance and HOA and do some upkeep, but you don't have to make the mortgage payment. So the thing with the reverse mortgage is the bank owns it. Now, upon your passing, the house stays in your estate.
Right.
And here's where people don't understand how a reverse really works, is they're told that the bank, if something happened to you, they just take it back. Well, no, that's not the case. Because the house goes to your estate, it goes to your kids or whoever you've designed it to go to. At that point, the children have 6 months to a year to figure out what they want to do with it. They're able to refinance it, sell it, take the proceeds from it. Now, we're going to kind of cover the proceeds and how that works as we go through this. But when you have a reverse mortgage, there's a percentage of the value versus what you can borrow.
Right.
Well, that percentage pretty much stays intact throughout, because as you're paying or not paying on the reverse and the payoff's going up, so is the value. So they kind of work together. But you own the home. You have complete control of the home. Unlike a standard forward mortgage, if the market crashes and something happens to you and the payoff happens to be higher than the value, like in 08, that happened a lot, even though it goes to your kids, they're not liable. They have no responsibility to pay off your reverse mortgage. The bank gets it back, and they take care of it. They cannot come after your estate. They can't come after your money, no matter what. So it actually has a separate little advantage that even if the market goes south.
I mean, really a protection.
Really does.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, like my wife and I have talked about, we don't want to move. The house we're in is the house we're going to stay in. And as long as we're healthy enough to stay in that house, we want to stay in a house, and a reverse mortgage is a good way to do that.
Sure. All right. Again, some of the myths, my payoff continues to increase.
It's really not a myth. It's a fact. It does.
Right.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's something that's hard for us to understand. So let's say you have a reverse mortgage and your payment's $2,000 a month. Your standard payment's $2,000 a month. And of that, $1,500 is principal and interest. The other $500 is tax and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if your payoff's $200,000 and you go to a reverse mortgage, they're going to tack roughly $1,500 a month on top of that payoff.
Right.
So every month it's going to go up by $1,500. So over a year it's going to go up by $18,000. So let's look at that. Yes, it's going to go up. But like I said, so is the value. So if the value, let's say, was $300,000 and it goes up by 3% or 4%, it's going up between $12,000 and $16,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the value is going up, but so is the equity. So you're not really losing out. There's other advantages that come in on a reverse. Plus, the thing you forgot is you're not making $1,500 a month payments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your payoff went up $18,000. What went in your pocket is $18,000.
Sure.
So now you're able to handle those situations that you might need. For some people, it's paying for the medication. For some people, it's taking care of doctor bills. For some people, it's being able to take a vacation that they couldn't take before, mm-hmm. or pay off debt, or do home improvements, be able to live a little bit less stress-free because they're now not making that $1,500 principal and interest payment.
And some people, just a little peace of mind, just looking over and seeing some money.
Yeah, that they can handle it if the car needs brakes.
Right.
And those speed bumps of life come along, and if you're on a fixed income, like many seniors are, that becomes very difficult to be able to withstand any kind of speed bumps to come up. You normally got to get family and friends. And I can assure you, at my age, I don't want to go to my kids and ask them for money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my goal.
Right. And, you know, reverse mortgages are really not complicated, but here's a couple of things you got to understand. First of all, you know, Steve Hurley, again, will be glad to sit down with you, sit down with your family members, hey, your CPA, your attorney, whoever you want, to go through things. But then, again, another layer that's the advantage for the customer is they go through a counseling where they can, once again, maybe some questions came up between the meeting with Steve and them.
Correct.
Where then they can come up and they're going to get the explanation again from a third party that has no skin in the game whatsoever, right?
They actually have no skin in the game. And some people say it's so complicated on reverse. Well, part of that is because many people thought it was a bad idea going in. And one of the reasons was that your payoff was going up. But when you take everything into considerations, currently right now, many financial planners are advising the use of a reverse mortgage because of its simplicity and what it does. It allows you to keep some of your reserves, some of your retirement money, and defer it down the line because you free up that $1,500.
Right.
So you don't need to have extra money. If you got Social Security coming in and you get an extra $1,500, sometimes that allows you to take your 401k or IRA and kick it down the road a little bit so you can outlive your money. So that's one of the advantages of a reverse mortgage. It's not complicated. You only have to have a few basic things. You have to be over 62, which you win. Mm-hmm. Scott, you're over 62.
Yep. Almost.
Almost. you have to have some equity in your house, and that's all depending by age. You can't currently be in a bankruptcy. They used to allow that to happen, but because of what they call LISA, which is taxes and insurance still have to be paid. Right. They want to make sure you have enough money to do that. So in most cases, that won't work. But those are the basic things.
Right.
Over 62. Now, both people don't have to be over 62. If you got a married couple, your spouse could be 50, 45. It's okay. They'll still do the reverse mortgage for you.
Sure. Good deal. Kurt Rogers with us. This show is called Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Steve Hurley. Steve's number, 303-885-0254. It is absolutely a free consultation to talk with Steve, whether by phone or you want to make an appointment, run by the office, he'll come to you. Whatever the case is, Steve will be glad to help you. We're talking about some of the myths now, and now we're going to slip over to some of the benefits of a reverse mortgage. And, Kurt, you just mentioned, hey, you never have to move or make a mortgage payment. To me, you could stop right there.
Yeah. I never have to make a mortgage payment. Again, it's critical. You got to make sure you still pay your property tax, your homeowner's insurance. You got to make the house livable. You can't, you know, let it fall apart. It has to have normal upkeep. If there's an HOA, you still got to pay that. But as far as the principal and interest portion of the payment, you don't have to make that anymore. And as long as you stay in the home 6 months and one day, you can treat that house as a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
Now, if you have a vacation home, and you decide to go to the vacation home for 6 months, minus a day, you're good to go. Or if you decide to live in another part of the country for a period of time, or several, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But your primary residence, it cannot be on an investment, can't be on a second home, has to be on the primary. So if you've lived in the house for 10, 15, 20 years, you don't want to move. You're comfortable with your neighbors, you're comfortable
right.
with your house, you know it. That's the nice thing about a reverse. It gives you that peace of mind that you don't have to move.
And it's also federally insured.
That's another nice thing about it. That kind of goes back to when I said they can never take your house away from you. You can never lose it. As long as you're living in a house, no matter what the value, they can't come after any of the money. It's yours. The federal government protects you no matter what the value of the home is.
Right. Now, also, like I said, guaranteed place to live. So if something happens to one of the spouses, The other one still gets to live there, correct?
Yeah, and that had been a problem previously, but what they've done to change that, again, we'll go back to that spouse that's 50, let's say, and you're 65, and all of a sudden you're 80 and they're 65. Well, if something happens to you, they don't have to change anything. They're still allowed to stay with the same terms as what the lease was or what the reverse mortgage right. was forever. They get to stay in the house. They don't have to make any payments because the whole reverse mortgage from day one is designed for that person, that youngest person, to stay in that house for as long as they want to without making the principal and interest payment.
Gotcha.
So it really does give you peace of mind. For example, if that was to happen to me, if something was to happen to me and I had a reverse, I'd be very safe with knowing my wife never had to move. She never had to make a payment.
Sure.
So it makes it easier on her.
Yeah, and if you want to, I mean, there is some financial flexibility with payment options. I mean, hey, if you want to and you want to throw a little bit back on, you know, you can, right?
And that's the funny thing. Many people, and you bring up a good point, Scott, many people don't realize that if you want to make a payment on your house, you can make a payment on your house. Now, why would I do that? Why would I do a reverse and make payments on the house? The rates are going to be relatively the same. So if I'm making the payment, why am I getting the reverse? Because I don't want the payment. Well, the advantage to that is the flexibility of the reverse allows you to tap your equity. Let's say you owe $100,000 on a house that's worth $500,000, and your reverse mortgage has a line amount of $300,000. That means you have $200,000 available. If you want to pay on it, you can increase that $200,000. To a higher number by making payments. But let's say you don't want to do that. That $200,000 grows every month, every year at the same rate that you're paying on the mortgage. So your equity line, as they call it, is getting bigger every year.
Right.
Which gives you so much more flexibility. So making a payment at some times might be beneficial if you're still working at 65, which many of us are doing that,
sure.
up to 70, 75. Continue to make the payment. You still build the equity because it's coming back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to you on this show and other shows about many people look at paying off their house as one of the best things they can do. And I don't disagree with that. But I look at the equity in your house no different than I do an IRA or a 401k. If I'm going to put $1,500 a month away into an account and it's going to grow in value, why is the equity in my home different than a 401k? That's my money.
Right.
I paid to have that equity. Why should I not be allowed to tap that equity when I need it as I get older?
Sure.
Just like I would my 401k. The advantage to a reverse mortgage is that money's tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's growing, you're not paying taxes on it when you're taking it out, unlike
sure.
a 401k or an IRA. So I have an added benefit to that.
Right.
So there's some good benefits to that for reverse.
All right. Do you have to do any kind of disclosure, sir?
Nope.
All right.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Right.
Affordable interest mortgage, 7400 East Arapahoe Road, Suite 109, regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191.
Kurt, always great information, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Call Steve Hurley today. Hey, if you've got questions, figure out if it's right for you. As Kurt said, hey, it's not right for everybody, but you know what? It could be the right tool for you to give you some financial freedom and some financial security. Call Steve today, 303-885-0254.
You've been listening to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you would like more information about a reverse mortgage, call Steve now at 303-885-0254. That's 303-885-0254. Regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender, NMLS 298191.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center would like to announce their new Canine Academy is open. Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. The Canine Academy is offering all new classes and several exciting additions, including the new sport classes, scent work, and tray ball that dogs love. Their pet behavior specialist has over 20 years of experience working with animals large and small, including dogs and cats and zoo animals and exotics. He's available Tuesday through Saturday to help you with all of your pet training needs. Visit LoneTreeVet.com and check out the Canine Academy page for the summer class schedule, or just give them a call at 303-708-8050 and get your pet started in the training that's best for you and your pet.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters, once again, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. And today, we are glad to have, for the first time, Dr. Terry Trinka from Integrated Health Systems. Dr. Trinka, thank you for being with us today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it is.
I appreciate a chance to talk about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's wonderful to have you on. Look forward to meeting you. I'll get by there and meet you in person as well. But so let's start out a little bit of background of yourself and, you know, how you got into doing what you're doing.
Well, graduated from Illinois, University of Illinois, with a Bachelor of Science in Biology.
Okay.
After that, I was very interested in how people look at the world and light and color. So I thought being an optometrist would be a good choice, and it was. So I got a doctor of optometry from the Illinois College of Optometry. About 15 years, maybe 10 years into that, I had a couple of experiences with patients in the clinic that made me think there was more to helping people than traditional medicine, traditional optometry. And so I became a certified nutritionist, and I do clinical nutrition for the last 20 years or so. I also, around that time, got introduced to a group of dedicated optometrists that use light and color to shift visual symptoms and health symptoms. They're called syntonic optometrists.
Okay.
And that's a funny word, S-Y-N-T-O-N-I-C-S, syntonics. Basically, it says we're going to use color therapy to help alleviate problems with people's health and vision. And then about 6-7 years ago, I read a book called The Ghost in My Brain. Scott, have you ever read a book or met a person that changed your life?
You bet. You bet. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
evidently, well, that did yours.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. And so I read about this guy who had a tremendous accident, and it destroyed his life. And a neurooptometrist helped him get his life back, and he's completely normal today after about 8 years of going from doctor to doctor to doctor. And so I read that. I said, I want to do that. And so I've been studying as much as I can. I'm a voracious learner, and I've been studying neurooptometry for the past 6 years. And so today, I think we're going to talk about migraines, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so let me just ask you this. When you first get in with seeing people, I mean, I would assume, because if I listened to you for 2 minutes after I met you, if I was coming in to see you, I would say I've never had anyone, you know, talk to me about this kind of in-depth study, you know, about my eyesight and then about my brain and then about my nutrition. So that's got to be quite an unusual, you know, pairing, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a little eclectic, you know, but you're drawn to the things that interest you and what you can help people with.
Sure.
And that's why I do what I do. I want to help people. And I found that nutrition is fundamental. And much of the stimulation of the brain, actually the most stimulation of the brain, comes through the eyes. So it seems kind of natural to me, although it does seem a little weird to have an eye doctor that's got his fingers in different areas like that. But they all support each other.
Absolutely.
And so you're trying to pick the tools that help the person, right?
For sure.
And that's what I try to do in all aspects of clinical work. And in migraines, I think it's particularly important because there's a brain stimulation part, a quieting down part, a nutrition part, a trigger part, and we'll talk about all these things, okay?
Absolutely. Once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Terry Trinka is with us from Integrated Health Systems. Our number is 303-477-5600. If you've got a question, we will open up the phone lines for Dr. Trinka as well. Okay, so let's kind of start out basic. I mean, what's the difference between what we would call maybe there's no such thing as a normal headache. Maybe they all have classifications, but what's the difference between what most of us think of a headache and then a migraine?
To me, Scott, the biggest difference is there's a bunch or a boatload of neurological symptoms that go along with the headache. And also there's oftentimes something called an aura or a warning or a signal that you're going to get a bad headache. And with a regular headache, that usually doesn't happen. And the triggers are very specific to migraines. So it's way more than a bad headache because there's all these other neurological things that happen, like, you know, obviously a bad headache, but nausea, dizziness, tingling or numbness, memory or concentration issues, anxiety and depression. Heck, if I had these symptoms, I would be anxious and depressed.
For sure.
So all of these things tell me that this is far more than a headache because of you didn't drink enough water and we live in a semi-arid climate. One of the interesting triggers for migraines is stress. And I'm telling you, Scott, I think we're living in a kind of a stressful time. What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, I was just talking with someone about this morning, and boy, from every angle of your life, it's not just our work or family or health. I mean, it is hitting us from about every angle it possibly could today.
And so that type of emotional and or physical stress can cause the situation where you get all of these neurological symptoms that are classified as a migraine, which include, of course, a headache. I think that migraines are underappreciated in American health. And I'm just going to throw some stats out at you and tell me if you've heard any of this, that there are 39 million men, women, children that experience migraines in the United States. Wow. There's a billion people in the world that experience migraines. That's a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And if it's that great, why don't we hear more about it? And I think one of the reasons is because it's vague. And a lot of people think, oh, you just have a bad headache, get over it. But they don't realize that there's all these other things going on in the brain that create the neurological symptoms that make it disabling. And it's not just a personal problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a health, just like a public health issue that are associated with migraines. Some people think that if you put a dollar amount on lost productivity due to migraines, it's estimated to be as high as $36 billion every year in just the United States alone. To me, that's worth looking at.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Trinka, when should someone really seek medical attention? I mean, in this day, and especially where we are now, everybody's afraid to go to the doctor. But you don't want to put things off and, you know, get yourself in further danger. So a lot of people, have you found, been putting up with these for many years before they even come see you?
Absolutely. And they sometimes get some relief through traditional medical channels with pharmaceutical agents. But pharmaceutical agents often have side effects, And the many people don't like the side effects. Sometimes it's a balancing act between which is worse, the side effect or the main effect of the problem that you're trying to fix. And so that can be problematic. And also, you know, I listened to the intro of this as I'm a new guest on the show. And, you know, the intro is all about finding cause, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think, you know, this leads into perfectly into the discussion of what do we think is going on? What do we think is going on with migraines? My study and my clinical work tells me that there's an overexcitability of the central nervous system. And what that means in practical terms is that the neurons in your brain are very, very close to firing, much closer than the average person. Oh, here's another thing that I wanted to tell you, Scott, that there seems to be a kind of a family component to it. Over 90% of the people who have chronic migraines or, you know, migraines over time,
right,
they have somebody in their family that has it, which I thought was, so there's a kind of a genetic susceptibility, but I don't want to lay it off on genetics because you and I both know that every type of health problem is a combination of genetic susceptibility and environmental factors, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
Right. So it's all of that. And so I thought it was interesting that such a high percentage of people who experience chronic migraines have it, as someone in their family has it too. And also affecting women far more than men. I would say 80 to 85% of migraineurs, that's what they call people who have migraines, migraineurs, what a weird word, right? They have, they're female. And I think part of it is, and this sort of leads into this whole idea of what's the triggers that cause people to have migraines. It's hormonal changes. And so you'll see, especially in women, as they go through a cycle, you know, there's various fluctuations in hormones like estrogen and progesterone. Well, there seems to be a particularly strong relationship between drops in estrogen and migraines. That's only one trigger. I mean, there are many. Some of the other triggers are visual, which is particularly important to me because I'm an eye doc.
Right.
There's a thing called pattern glare, and pattern glare is a pretty unusual phenomenon where a person looks at a visual pattern like stripes. But I've seen a patient that said, I looked at tall buildings in the city and I got the same effect. There was a regular pattern and it starts to shimmer and move and not be the way that you and I would look at it if we don't have migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, boom, it triggers a migraine. And so I thought that's a very interesting visual phenomenon. And a fair amount of people who have migraines are susceptible to getting a migraine after they see something visual like this. I thought that was really interesting.
Wow, absolutely. Now, are there sometimes too, I mean, when we say men and women, we think of people probably over 40 or whatever. Do you see this sometimes in young people as well, teenage years?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, it all depends on the triggers, right?
Right.
And so sometimes if you're a cycling female, it can be in a hormonal one. Oftentimes it's food. And, you know, there's a big topic, right?
No doubt. Seems like everything we talk about, you know, with Dr. Stedman or in the team, everything comes back to what we eat.
Yeah. Oh, so true. And so sometimes, and it's easy. You eat a cheese and bam, you get the migraine. Or another common chemical is in red wine and it's called tannin, and that can produce a migraine. And so that's fairly easy to figure out, but food is really complicated. You know, I look at medications and they're a single purified substance. I look at food and there's nothing single or purified about it. So it's immeasurably more complicated than a medication is. And so how do you figure out what kind of foods might be a trigger for migraines?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, two ways. Number one, the easy and cheap way is, let me put that differently, Scott. The expensive and easy way is a food sensitivity test.
Right.
You draw blood, you expose it to different foods, you see where your antibodies react, and you can get an idea of what your immune system doesn't like about food or which foods it doesn't like. The cheaper way to do it, but much more difficult, is trial foods. You know, eat the super bland diet, and then you put a food in and see what happens. And then you do that for 3 days, and then you try another food. So it's difficult because it's difficult to be that disciplined.
Sure.
So that's called a rotation and elimination diet. So those are the two ways to find out food. What some of the literature says is also the frequency of eating. So know anybody who blows off breakfast, has a muffin, eats a salad for lunch, doesn't eat until like 7 or 8? I mean, that type of behavior doesn't produce normal physiology, and it's a trigger for migraines.
Sure.
So irregular food frequency is a trigger for migraines. Same thing with sleep, irregular sleep. And I mean, I could go off on you, Scott, about how important sleep is. And I bet Dr. Stedman has said the same thing.
Oh, and I mean, in this day and time, again, with all this stress, I mean, most of the people that I talk to, lucky to get 5 to 6 hours a day, a night.
That's rough. I mean, the effects of sleep, there's some great books written on this. And they all say the same thing. They say, if you don't get the rest and regeneration and sleep, it's equivalent to having levels of alcohol in terms of how it affects your perception, your reflexes, your cognition, all the rest of that stuff. And so the idea would be, pay attention to the principles of what they call sleep hygiene, which is get to bed at the right, you know, at the same time, have the same routine, sleep in a colder room. Take away electromagnetic devices out of your room. Do not sleep with the TV on. Take your cell phone and put it in a different place. Don't have it in your room. All of those things affect sleep. I mean, we could have a whole show on just sleep.
Sure.
Because it's so important. And so that's another trigger for migraines.
Right.
I mean, do you have any questions on that?
You know, how everything is so individualized too, because I think we both know people that, and a lot of these intermittent fasting things are really big right now for people. So there are a lot of people doing what we talked about, maybe, you know, skipping a breakfast thing, and things work for them. But I think whatever each of us have to realize, everybody's body's different. Just because, you know, your friend or your husband or wife may be able to, you know, get by doing something, you're makeup, so to speak, and your body may not be able to handle that. So that's why these a good consultation with someone like yourself is just really good to see what is happening with you as an individual, right?
I couldn't agree more. Treat the person like the unique individual that they are. And for some people, intermittent fasting is actually a great idea. And I think it does an incredible amount of things that are positive for your body. But if you're already really low on the blood sugar scale, to go fast is not necessarily a great idea right away. You know, certain people can do it, no big deal. They have a wonderful result. But it's not right for everybody, at least initially. You know, stabilization of how much blood sugar you have or the amount of glucose in your blood is a really critical aspect to brain function. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, if the people that are listening to the show have and listen to Dr. Stedman, would have already known this.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's a part of neurology. And this is where neurology and physiology kind of marry themselves through blood sugar. Because if you want a well-functioning brain that doesn't have migraines, one of the aspects is to have steady blood sugar. And so that just leads itself into saying, you know, you probably need an occasional laboratory test, a blood chemistry test, to see this stuff. And again, it's the personalized look, Scott. You're exactly right, because for one person it's not that. For another person, they're anemic and they can't provide oxygen to their brain, so that's a trigger for a migraine. So there's all kinds of triggers. Another one is nutritional deficiencies.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the standard American diet, it's pathetic. It doesn't provide the amount of nutrition to allow your body to run properly. And I remember seeing a transcript from a soil scientist, and the soil scientist was in front of Congress, and the soil scientist was bemoaning the fact that there was no nutrients in the food that we eat because of modern agriculture had stripped the topsoil away. And I looked at the date of the transcript, Scott. It was 1934.
Wow.
I know. You're like, and it's better now?
No doubt.
No, it's not. So nutritional deficiencies have a part to play because of the way we eat. So the idea would be fresh food, organic, non-GMO, all of those buzzwords that are popular today really do make a difference. I'd say the biggest, do you know what the number one mineral deficiency is in America?
What's that?
Magnesium. And guess what is a great way to try to handle migraines if nothing else is working? Take magnesium.
Okay.
So magnesium is a big one. B vitamins are big ones. Those are huge in trying to limit migraine. So the whole point is to limit migraine intensity mm-hmm. and frequency. And so you have these B vitamins like B2 riboflavin or B6 pyridoxine or B12 cobalamin. They can have effects on the frequency and the intensity of migraines. So can vitamin D, one of the most common vitamin deficiencies in America as well. So the idea is get together with somebody who knows nutrition, because you're not going to find this at GNC. It's not going to be the right kind of nutrition.
Right.
It's one thing to talk about nutritional supplements. It's another thing to talk about the quality of them.
No, and that's one thing.
They vary wildly.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's been great, you know, with this Dr. Stedman and you know, the team there, including yourself, is, you know, it's kind of a one-stop shop. There's nothing more frustrating than going to doctor after doctor after doctor and all of them not kind of agreeing on what's going on. And here, when you've got a chart at Integrated Health Systems, I mean, Dr. Stedman said, hey, on Mondays, everybody gets together, talks about different things with patients, and, you know, you can really get the help that you need right there at one place for the most part.
And different perspectives, too.
Sure.
I love being a part of those meetings because I learn so much about how to think about people differently than my own little way of thinking of it, which is expansive as well, but it's always... I'm a lifelong learner, and so I'm glad you brought up the meetings. It's been a great tool for me as well. So to kind of give you more data on what I do as an optometrist, there's two other things that you can do to help migraines.
Okay.
One is to use colored light, and you can use this by looking at a light that has a filter in front of it. You can put a tint in glasses, or you can have these like little cardboard glasses with the right frequency of light coming through, meaning that it's a blue filter or a green filter. And what studies have shown is that most people can get rid of pattern glare causes for migraines or visual stimulus causes for migraines by looking at colored light or having colored light come through glasses to their eye. And I think an easy thing to ask is, well, why is that? And the hypothesis, the idea is colored light can quiet down a nervous system. And if the whole problem is, well, your brain's neurons are overexcitable and are very close to firing, why don't we use something that can calm that down a little? And color is phenomenal for doing that. Now, like you said, it's personalized care, right? Mm-hmm. Does blue work for everybody? No.
No. Yeah.
Sometimes teal or turquoise is the best color. Sometimes green. Sometimes violet. And you go through these different sequences in the clinic to try to figure out which is the best one for them and which way is best for them to deal. So a pair of glasses with a tint in them, looking at a colored light, or doing these cardboard glasses. One combination of those things is going to usually make a difference in how a person's frequency and intensity of migraines can be lowered. So that's really exciting to me because it's such a simple therapy.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, what's the side effect of looking at a colored light?
Yeah, no.
Really low, Scott. Really low.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I think we are. I mean, you know, medications certainly have their place, but so many times it's almost like we've referred to it as putting, you know, some duct tape over your engine light and not being able to see the light and expect everything to still go well. And all you're doing is masking that condition. So I'm not saying, again, prescriptions and medications don't have their place, but you can always go there. So why not find really what's going on that functional medicine side, find out the cause, and then find out what works for you.
I couldn't agree more. It's wise to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? I mean, sometimes medications are necessary.
Sure.
And as an eye doctor, I have a pharmaceutical license. I mean, I can prescribe medications. So I understand there's times at which you absolutely need that. But so many of the other times, you said it beautifully. It's find out the cause. And in many ways, the cause is the cure, right? I mean, once you find out the cause, you can look at the lifestyle that is producing that cause, and you get far better or more lasting results. You know, I know I can take an aspirin for a headache, but if I get a headache at 3 o'clock every day, at some point I'm going to start realizing I don't have an aspirin deficiency, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yep. Oh, absolutely. And so, I tell you what, got about 2 minutes here. Let's talk about what an initial consultation looks like, because, man, we've covered a ton right here. But when that person sits down with you the first time to try to figure out, you know, if your side can be of help with the optical side of things, just kind of walk us through what that initial consultation looks like.
So I always want to do a basic eye exam, and the basic eye exam will give me an idea of what the prescription is and how the person's eyes work together as a team and how they focus. But that's only a starting point. I then have to try to figure out what parts of the retina are hooked up into what parts of the brain so that I can put lenses in front of them that can stimulate the part of the retina that goes to the part of the brain that I want to influence. So sometimes people have a visual aura before a migraine, and you know that something's happening in the part of their brain called the visual cortex. And so I'm thinking, okay, is what part of the retina can I influence with light or color or something called prisms or filters to try to influence that part of the retina so that I can quiet down that aspect of the brain? And that takes a lot of time. That takes a good hour to figure all that out. One of the things that I've realized is that modern optometry is still stuck in trying to make the chart as clear as possible and make sure the eyes are healthy. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
The problem is that concept came around in 1864 from a Dutch ophthalmologist by the name of Snellen. And that's why we have the Snellen chart. If you recall what was going on in 1864, there was covered wagons.
Right. Yes, sir.
and we were hunting for food.
Right.
I think life is slightly different now.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things you want to do is you want to say, that's great. We know what makes you see well. Now let's modify that prescription so that your eye and your brain connect the best for you, no matter what your symptom is. If it's dizziness or migraines or clumsiness or eye-hand coordination problems or cognition issues or light and dark cycle problems, they can all be influenced by this so-called neuro-optometry.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Trinket, it has been a real privilege. We will definitely be doing this again. We will do a show on sleep sometime coming up soon because that's a great topic. But thank you for being with us, and we appreciate all your information today.
Thanks for having me, Scott. It was a pleasure.
All right. That's Dr. Terry Trinka, Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. Have a great rest of your day.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.